Okay. Our hymn of invitation this morning, if you want to open your hymnals and hold it in red, is Just As I Am, number 488 in your hymnals. First and last verses will be on the screen this morning. Equipped for Service is the title of this morning's message. Our text is from Peter's first letter to the churches in chapter 4, verse 10. Which reads, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're talking this morning about spiritual gifts, of course. The greatest gift that the Holy Spirit gives is the Bible. Through the inspired Word of God, He works to bring lost sinners to faith and repentance through the Scriptures. He teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains the saints in righteousness so that we might walk in love, just as Jesus loved us and His Father and His neighbor. And He works in us to sanctify us, that is His purpose, so that we might be like Jesus. And that's a question that I like to ask a lot. What's the purpose? Why? Kind of drives me nuts when Lily asks the question, is that a good idea? Yes. Why? 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 Why am I doing this thing or that thing or the other thing? Why did that guy feel it necessary to pull out 100 feet in front of me when I'm going 55 miles an hour, so I have to slam on my brakes, spill my coffee, just to avoid rear-ending him? Why did I begin preaching on the Holy Spirit? And it was because I saw you guys were bringing me questions about the Holy Spirit, so I felt we should address that. And I was thinking along these lines Christmas is around the corner. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas at our house. And what a better time to talk about those other gifts the Holy Spirit gives. You know, the one Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that those spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit distributes to each Christian individually as He wills. What's His purpose in giving them? Why? Why does He give them? What are they? Which one did He give me? Or which ones did He give me? In the context of His work of power, of course, in contrast with His work of knowledge, when we're talking in the context of the Holy Spirit's work of power, the gift that we've been talking about is the Holy Spirit Himself. When we're baptized, we receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to regenerate and to sanctify us. So the Father gifts His Spirit and puts Him inside us. And He enables us, in fact, causes us to walk in His statutes, to observe His ordinances. Now we want to consider those gifts the Holy Spirit Himself gives, those equipping gifts. So what does it mean to say, I have received a spiritual gift? What constitutes spiritual giftedness? The most common approach to this is self-examination. Okay, self-examination, that is to ask ourselves the question, what natural abilities has God given me to use for His glory? And that's a good question to ask. In fact, that's a question far too infrequently asked. Because by not asking that question of you, far too many of you are sitting in the seats that you're sitting in right now feeling like unnecessary members of the body of Christ. So, let me be the first to apologize for not asking you that question directly, but warn you that I will be asking you that question directly so that I can help you determine what your spiritual gifts are and put them to use for kingdom purposes. But the question of natural talents doesn't give the whole picture. It gives part of the picture, but not the whole picture. It doesn't explain the why. It's not the purpose of spiritual gifts. See, natural gifts may be, but are not necessarily spiritual gifts. For example, Thomas Edison was naturally gifted in intellect, in knowledge, in inventing. By the time he died at 84 years old, he had, either by himself or jointly with another group or an individual, filed and patented over 1,000 inventions. He was arguably the most gifted inventor in history. But in 1910, he offered this quote in an interview with the New York Times magazine. He said, "I do not believe in the God of the theologians. That there is a supreme intelligence, I have no doubt, but I do not believe in the God of the theologians." You see, Thomas Edison undoubtedly used his natural abilities, his God-given talents, for the good of mankind. But what benefit did his church see? None. Why? He didn't have a church. He did not believe in the God of the theologians. See, natural talents may be, but they're not necessarily spiritual gifts. Natural talents might be misused. Adolf Hitler, Fidel Castro, among the many who had a natural skill for leading people, but they dreadfully misaimed their natural abilities, and thus they went down in the annals of history in the what not to do category. So by all this, we will conclude that there's something more to spiritual giftedness than just having natural abilities. And further, that spiritual gifts are unique to Christians. They're unique to Christians. Non-Christians aren't given them. They don't have them. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to those kingdom heirs in whom he dwells. So why does he give spiritual gifts? Why does he give spiritual gifts? Let's open up our Bibles and go back to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 31. I've given you these references on your outline. Exodus chapter 31. God was giving very detailed instructions concerning building the tabernacle. The problem was no one was around to accomplish all the skills that God had commanded to for them to do. So, by his Spirit, God equipped Bezalel and Oholiab and a whole host of others to carry out all the work that he had commanded. Now, I'm not going to read these references for you. You can do that when you get home in Exodus 31, and you can cross-reference that with Exodus 35. And when you do, I want you to notice a couple things. First, that God gives new skills. God gives new skills. See, God filled Bezalel with all of the craftsmanships required to accomplish the task. It's reasonable to say that Bezalel was probably already talented in some of these things, but he wasn't talented in all of them until God had filled him. So God gives new skills. Also, God enhances those natural abilities. See, God put skill in the hearts of the skillful. They had skill. God made them more skillful. In other words, he improved their ability to perform. Third, each worker was called to perform a task. Each gift of craftsmanship was given to accomplish a particular task. And therefore, fourth, the talent is secondary to the task. See, the designing of gold and silver and bronze things, the carving of wood, embroidering of cloth, engraving, those talents, those skills, were all subordinate and purposed for building the tabernacle, which was later called the temple. Because spiritual gifts are given to complete tasks. Spiritual, they are task-centric. Now, oftentimes what applies to Old Testament Israel on the physical level applies to the New Testament church on the spiritual level. And that would be a very silly thing to say if that were not the case here. So what's the connection? Do you not know that you are a temple of God? You are a temple of God. See, in the case of the tabernacle, spiritual gifts were given to construct a physical building. In the case of the New Testament church, spiritual gifts are given to equip the saints to build the kingdom of God. Another Old Testament example of the Holy Spirit giving spiritual gifts is when the 70 elders and officers were selected and equipped to share in the burden of Israel with Moses. That's in Numbers chapter 11. I'll let you look at that one as well. In the New Testament, one of the main spiritual gifts that Paul lists is that of the apostolic office. God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, selected specific individuals to fill this office. And he promised that the Holy Spirit would equip them to perform all the tasks that it required. What were those tasks? Well, in part, they were given to write the New Testament scriptures. And Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit came, he would guide them into all truth and reveal to them the things that would come. That was the night before his crucifixion. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit did come and clothed them with power from on high, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. These were God's words they were speaking. Therefore, we will conclude that spiritual gifts are callings to perform tasks. Spiritual gifts are callings to perform tasks. Having a natural ability and innate talent, that's nice. But it's not necessary, because God may call an untalented person and give them a new ability to perform the task he's called them to perform. Or he may call a talented person and enhance their ability and focus it to perform the task that he's called them to perform. In any case, the ability itself does not constitute spiritual giftedness. The important thing to remember is the calling to a task. And in the Bible, sometimes God makes this call himself. Sometimes he makes this call directly, like he did with Moses in Exodus 3 in the burning bush. God directly called Moses and said, "You will lead my people out of Egypt." In the New Testament, God directly called in the person of Jesus Christ all of the apostles. He did that in the Gospels. At other times, God makes this call indirectly in the Old Testament through the prophets, in the New Testament through the church and her leaders, the elders. But from all of the examples here, the important thing, the critical thing, the vital thing to understand is that spiritual gifts are being called to perform a task. So the first thing that we need to consider, is what task is the Holy Spirit calling me to perform? Perhaps through my church or her elders. But remember, the ability does not constitute spiritual giftedness. The availability to answer the call results in the ability to achieve the task. So that's the concept of spiritual gifts. That's the what. Now, what's why? What's the why? What's the purpose of spiritual gifts? And whether it's Old Testament times or New Testament times, the purpose is the same. It's to equip individuals to meet the needs of God's people as a whole. Paul uses the human body. I just realized I forgot my water back there. Max, would you mind? There was a point bringing my water up here because I had a way of using it to emphasize a point, which is gone now, but my throat is still dry, so I'm just going to leave it right there. In the New Testament, Paul uses the human body as an illustration to demonstrate the purpose of spiritual gifts. He says, in the body there are many members, but there's one body, and there are various functions. See, sometimes the body needs to reach out and grab a glass of water, but needs to walk over, just as Max brought my water to me, needs to walk over and get it first. The legs get up and they walk, and the arms reach out, and the hands grab, and then you can take a drink of water. So there are various needs of the body. That's evident. And the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts, various spiritual gifts, to meet all these needs. And the body metaphor explains why all Christians don't have the same spiritual gifts. Right? Because Paul says, If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Right? There is a need for diversity. There is a need for multiplicity, because if the preacher goes down for a Sunday because his wife had a baby, then there needs to be somebody left in the seats that will stand up and fill the pulpit for him in his absence. There's a need for multiplicity, duplicity, redundancy even. But the main point of the illustration, that's the secondary point. The main point of the illustration of the body in spiritual gifts realm is to illustrate the unity of their purpose, right? The unity of the purpose. See, the eye cannot say to the hand that, push that slide forward for me. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Why? Well, because the eye and the hand are part of the body to serve the body, not themselves. The eye and the hand serve the needs of the body. See, the legs get up and walk, the arms reach out, that enables the hands to grab and the mouth to drink and so on and so forth. Paul says that if you're in the body of Christ, you have these spiritual gifts, these manifestations of the Spirit. You have them for the common good. We all serve the same body. So Scripture teaches interdependence, not independence. Scripture teaches interdependence concerning spiritual gifts. Because each one of us benefit from another's answering the Holy Spirit's call to perform a task because each of us has needs. Each of us has needs. And so each of us benefits from another answering the Holy Spirit's call to perform a task. Therefore, each one of us must answer the Holy Spirit's call to perform a task to meet the needs of the body. See how all that works? The important word here is needs. Needs. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to meet the church's needs. And these needs are fluid. They change. They're not constant. In the early church, in the first century church, there was a need to prove the authenticity and the authority of apostolic teaching. That need was there. The New Testament scriptures weren't written yet. Therefore, the Holy Spirit equipped the apostles with miraculous powers to prove the truth of their message. Okay? But that need no longer exists in the church today. Why? Well, the discipline of apologetics proves the accuracy, the authenticity, the authority of the scriptures, so you don't need me up here speaking in tongues to prove the truth of what I'm saying. You should take your Bible home and search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. So the early church had that need, but we don't have that need. The early church didn't have the need for any of its members to be particularly gifted concerning computers. Why? The technology didn't exist. But the church today has that need abundantly. See, the local body of Christ, just like the universal body of Christ, is an organic body. Our church does not have the same needs as the other church. Our church today does not have the same needs as it had 2 or 5 or 10 years ago. Nor does it have the same needs now that it will have 2 or 5 or 10 years from now. Because our needs change. They're fluid. And this is the point. No matter what the era in time, no matter what the locale, no matter what the circumstance that we find ourselves in, the Holy Spirit is giving spiritual gifts and calling us all to tasks to meet our needs. Paul says, since you're really desiring spiritual gifts, seek to meet this need which always will exist in the church, to edify the church, to build her up into Jesus Christ. Now, if your train of thought is leading you to ask the question, what are the needs of my church? I have used my spiritual gift well. If you're asking that question, that is a really good question to ask. Another derivative of that might be, what is the Holy Spirit calling me to do, perhaps through my church or my elders? But remember, as each one of you has received a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now that's our text this morning. I want to unpack that for a moment. Okay? That's all that's left. Okay? So for a moment, let's unpack this. As each one has received a special gift, so the Holy Spirit has called each and every one of us to perform a task. This is not an if statement. You have received this calling to perform a task from the Holy Spirit. The verb is aorist, which means at some point in time, in the past, the Holy Spirit called you to do this. And we are to employ these gifts in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the commission that we have from the Holy Spirit to meet a need in this body will meet the need of this body as a whole. And unless we accept the call to perform the task, this body, our little church here, will not function efficiently and effectively. Let me say that one more time. Unless each and every one of us accept the Holy Spirit's call to perform the task within the body that He has called us to perform, we will not function efficiently and effectively. And if you go on to read the next verse, in verse 11, you will find out that the Holy Spirit divides the spiritual gifts that He gives, the task that He calls individual members of the body to, into two categories of speaking and of serving. Both categories, however, are fueled by God. He who speaks is to speak the utterances of God, in other words, the Word of God. He who serves to serve by the power of God. So the Word of God in the speaking tasks of preaching, evangelizing, and all these other things that require speaking, we are to speak the Word of God. When we are serving one another, we are to serve as strengthened by the strength that God provides. So God gives us the strength that we need to serve one another. And if you read on through this, you will find that speaking the Word of God and serving by the strength of God are so that in all things God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now, how is God glorified through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit's calling individual Christians to meet the needs of their church? How is God glorified in that? Ephesians 4:16 teaches that when each member of the body functions according to their purpose, when each one of us has answered the call that the Holy Spirit has made to perform and carry out the task that He has given us to do, when each one of us does that, we are working properly. And the result of each and every one of us doing that is the building up of the body of Christ in faith and in number. And when the body of Christ is built up in faith and in number, the Father is glorified in the abounding of the saving work of His Son. To Him belongs the glory forever.